Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Joining me later on the show to drop some knowledge about NFL betting markets and to get you ready for NFL week two is Jay Cornegay, Executive Vice President of Race and Sportsbook Operations at the Westgate Superbook. But first, oh, was it a fantastic week one for the podcast? Let's do a quick recap, plus look forward to our week two picks. And we were rolling in the dough. Let's start with the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week, which hit easily. We had the Ravens, Bills, and Steelers. We were fortunate enough to avoid the road losses. We also got an opportunity to double down and bet against the Browns, which was great. Up next, we had our Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable Bet of the Week. And who did we have? The Jacksonville Jaguars. And this felt especially great because of the overwhelming sentiment of free money on the Colts. And this is exactly why we do this segment. And oh, by the way, DeReal Papa Bear Sean Lockhart, he took Washington as his uncomfortable bet of the week. So why is this important? Because we took two of the grossest teams who not only covered, but won outright. It doesn't mean this is going to happen every single time, but what we want to do is help train your mind and think differently. Because when everyone was like, oh, the Colts are the money win of the century, it's not always that easy. As we talked about, continuity, extremely important. And oh, by the way, both the Jags and Washington were getting money at home. The last one, pick a loser. We won that one again. Our loser was the 49ers. The great win for the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, holy smokes, Batman. He looked amazing. He looks like he could be the next real deal. Despite this, I was still very impressed with the 49ers pass rush. It's something that is a strength for the team. And Kyler Murray picked up a lot of his yards on the ground from scrambling. Why did he have to do that? Because that pass rush was heavy. Some quick stats for you. This comes from our man, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. Favorites went 9-7 against the spread. Home favorites, 6-4. Favorites of 6 points or more went 5-2. Looking at the totals, 9-7 to the over. Division games went 6-3 to the over. In primetime, this is an interesting one, 1-3 to the under. So this week is a very interesting one because we have the opportunity to fade teams that did well and bet on teams that have the opportunities to bounce back. So I want to sort of help you identify the teams that you can be looking at. So the bounce back options for this week, we got the Bucs, who lost on the road, taking on the Saints with Tom Brady. You got the 49ers, who lost at home. This week, they are taking on the Jets. You got the Colts. It does not get much worse than losing to the Jags. You got the Eagles. They blew a 17-0 lead. Woof. Their offensive line, not good, and they've got injuries. And then you got the Lions. They choked against the Bears. On the flip side, potential overreaction, you got the Buffalo Bills. They smoked the Jets. You've got the team from Washington. That win seemed to come out of nowhere. Was that a one-time thing? Likely. You got the Jags. That could have been the best game we see out of them all year. Gardner Minshew went 19-20. Yeah. We got the Cardinals, huge win right there. We got the Rams, huge win right there. So I know a lot of people will be looking to bet on the teams that looked bad last week and bet against the teams that looked good. So let's get to my picks for the week. Let's start with the Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable Bet of the Week. And I feel very gross about this one. But let's back the Detroit Lions getting 6, taking on the Green Bay Packers. And I'm actually going to look and see if I can get this number better than 6 because the Packers looked really good. They straight smoked the Vikings. And the Lions, everyone remembers that they choked up the lead to Mitchell Trubisky. But guess what? The Lions had two opportunities to win that game. So we would have a completely different narrative had DeAndre Swift caught that ball. So for me, I'm going to be uncomfortable, but give me the Lions plus six. Let's get to our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week. We're going to go with the 49ers minus 305, the Titans minus 375, and the Chiefs minus 375. That gets us to plus 115 on the odds. $10 bet wins $21.45. And the last one, let's get to a pick a loser. And I'm going to go with two teams that we're familiar with. My loser is the Washington football team plus 6.5 taking on the Cardinals. For me, this is all about betting against Washington in a letdown spot for them because there's a huge win against the Eagles in the division. I really liked what I saw out of Kyler Murray in Arizona. They looked phenomenal with DeAndre Hopkins. All they got to do is win by a touchdown. And I want to hear from you. Do you have a get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week, a Big Mick bet of the week, or a pick a loser? Make sure to hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. I love getting the feedback with you. And certainly on Sundays, I'm on Twitter. I'm jamming. I'm throwing out my bets. You'll see more of my card as the week goes on.
Hold up.
You spoke, they listened. The new Covers Experts experience is here. Covers recently made some great enhancements to their handicapper platform, including a new interactive leaderboard, faster page speeds, improved navigation, PayPal and guest checkouts are now available, all delivered through a consistent experience across all devices. To celebrate these improvements, they have a limited time offer to share. Get $50 in free Covers Experts credit using promo code NEWEXPERTS50. This offer expires on September 30th, so purchase today. Winning starts here at Covers Experts. Woo! Joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 2 from a sports book perspective is Jay Cornegay, Executive Vice President of Race and Sportsbook Operations at the Westgate Superbook. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Jay, great to have you back on the show.
Good to see you, Rob.
And you know what else is absolutely fantastic? Football is back. I feel so blessed for us to be in this moment. We are briefly talking before we started sort of about how things are picking up, and I'm curious, what are things like in your world right now?
Well, I tell you, ever since beginning of August, NHL and NBA have really been carrying the flag for us. Prior to that, when we reopened the app in May, I mean, it was carried by the UFC fights, NASCAR, golf. All those were up at least 400%. Golf is still carrying a lot of momentum. It's up like 600%. So by the time we got to August and saw basketball and hockey return, we were setting record numbers in August. And that has continued through September as many people are resorting to sports gaming as one of their major sources of entertainment.
And do you believe these numbers will continue? Because I even look at my own consumption of sports betting. And you're right, when there was nothing on, we were betting UFC. So now I'm a little bit more familiar. And then golf was something where it was almost like this blessing for all of us where we're like, whoa, we can bet on golf. And it was something where the entry point was actually forced upon us in a good way, whereas traditionally we may not have been betting golf, but now that we have, we're like, well, wait a second, here comes the U.S. Open, let's keep this party going.
Yeah, there was, I think there was a lot of that across the country. A lot of people were not familiar with NASCAR or UFC or especially golf. I mean, a lot of that, UFC carried its own, but NASCAR and golf was really considered a second tier and maybe sometimes third tier betting sports. But now a lot more people are familiar, whether it's Hamlin or Harvick, Elliott. A lot of those names were not household names in the gambling world, but now they are. And golf has been, I mean, just phenomenal with the in-game wagering that we offer here at the Superbook on Saturdays and Sunday. I got to admit something, Rob. I've played more golf this summer than I've ever played before. And I'm talking about actually being on the course, because we just don't have a lot of other things that we can do. We can't travel. It's not that I've had a lot of time off, but that little window that we might have every 1 or 2 weeks, I've been out there and I run into people on the golf course, and they're like, we love in-game wagering on golf tournaments. People have been betting that like crazy. So it's been a big hit during this time.
And I'm actually with you as well. I'm on the upswing of golf living in Chicago. And when you think about what was there for us to do, not a lot. But if we got to be outside, not around a lot of other people, and golf is just enjoyable when you're doing it. And this is going to end up being a good thing for golf, I believe, because one of the biggest downsides of golf was I don't got 5 hours during my day to go and do this. Well, guess what? We have all the time in the world now. So now we're going to be golfing more. But now if golf is smart, they're going to be very technologically advanced. You guys are doing live betting during the thing. Boom, let's move this forward like all the other sports are.
Yeah, and they should. And I think UFC really took that opportunity. And, you know, whether it's Fight Island, you know, or mid-weekday events, they really took that opportunity, that short window, to really get their sport out there. I think golf has done the same thing. Of course, NASCAR also, you know, by having Friday races, you know, Saturday races, Sunday races, and sometimes double headers in some cases. All three of those sports took advantage of this, and we're starting to see that carry on, even though we have some of the major sports back.
So let's talk about NFL week one. And I was looking at my bet card and it was just completely packed. And I was like, I did not wait this long to not bet on as many games as I humanly could. And I'm curious if you saw a similar boost in betting once football got back.
Yeah, the numbers have been tremendous. Now, out here in Las Vegas, we can only work at 50% capacity. All right, and that definitely showed in our numbers at the retail outlet here. So we actually removed about 60% of our seating area, and we actually added a couple other venues. But those other venues, like our theater, our iBar, our cabaret, we set up viewing areas, but those areas were limited to 50 people. Now, the sports book is considered part of the casino, so we could work at 50% capacity, which is about 1,100. So instead of 2,200, we could put 1,100, but we played it safe. And we only allowed about 700 to 800 people in the Superbook. Now, it's tough to enforce. People look at it and say, well, look, if they're not practicing social distancing. But we certainly were on it and make sure that we followed the governor's mandate, and everybody was, you know, doing their best to keep 6 feet away. Of course, we had to remind a lot of people, but those numbers definitely showed, as the retail numbers were down quite a bit, but the mobile was up about 21%, and our overall ticket count was above last year's week one numbers. So we had a lot of people placing bets, even though a lot of them were doing it through their phones.
And how was week one from a book perspective? Because I have to imagine the Colts losing and the Eagles losing really did a lot of wonders for you guys from a parlay exposure standpoint.
Well, I was knocked out of my last man standing pool. Of course, I have Colts. I was really high on the Colts this past week. But yeah, that's, you know, it's a good thing, a bad thing. But business-wise, it was really good because – you know, the Eagles going down to that football team, the Colts losing, which was really the big knock on you know, teasers, money line parlays. And then, of course, the capper was the Cardinals beating the 49ers. That was a big result for us in the afternoon. So with those three results, it was a very positive day for us, a very solid day for the sports book.
I think the biggest thing that people, myself included, want to know is how you guys are taking home field advantage into account, and are there any teams where this is an advantage? So, for example, think about the Chargers or the team from Washington where the home crowd maybe have been sparse. There's a lot more other fans there where all of a sudden we're used to just saying, all right, there's a 3-point advantage to the home team, but how are you guys taking this into account?
Well, overall, it's a very small factor, and in most cases, it's a non-factor. Across the board, with a few exceptions, we thought that some of the bigger venues like Kansas City, New Orleans, and Seattle could have a huge impact because their crowds are such a big part of their venues, opinions vary on this thing, and I understand that, where some people think it's not relevant at all. Some people think it's a 2-point adjustment. We're somewhere in between there. But you got venues like Jacksonville or Miami, it's certainly not a factor at all because they don't have any home field advantage if things were, under normal conditions. So, but most of the league, you're probably looking at a point adjustment, but that's about it.
All right, so let's look forward to week 2. And one of the interesting parts about week 2 is overreactions and fool's gold. Hey, what did we see last week? And is that going to continue? Or is a team as good as what we just saw? And there's a few teams where there's major bounce back opportunities. One, you've got the Bucks, you've got the 49ers, you've got the Colts, the Eagles, and the Lions. And looking at the Bucks, lost by 11 on the road against a good team. Offense didn't look good. Tom Brady's at the helm, though. Boom, we look at week 1. They're sitting there. What do you have that number at this week for them against the Panthers?
Well, we opened 8.5, and so they're not shying away from Tom Brady at all. It's already been pushed up to 9. I see some 9.5s out there. We're currently 9, total of 48.5, which opened at 48. So we see a little bit of a Buccaneer money despite their loss, despite a couple of poor passes by Brady. People are still believing in Tampa Bay. It's a short sample, and most handicappers can't do that. I mean, a lot of people that are going to be betting in these games in week 2 are just looking at week 1 results. And yeah, you do have to take that as part of your handicapping process, but it's a lot smaller than most people think.
And I know oftentimes when looking at numbers, there is the public money versus the sharp money. And everyone this week, or at least the majority of people, are saying, cool, let's fade the teams that won last week. So looking at teams like the Redskins or the Jaguars, and then the bounce back opportunities for these other ones. So the Eagles blow a 17-0 lead. The Lions choked the game, a game they should have won twice. So naturally we would be like, well, I'm just going to be blindly betting the teams that choked and then blindly fading the teams that did not. But how does that come into your world in setting a number?
No, we don't look at it like that as far as, emotional wins or emotional losses. I mean, if there's a physical game, you could see somewhat of a letdown. But just because someone choked it away, I mean, I certainly wouldn't bank on the Lions. I mean, that's the Lions, right? We've seen it so many times. They don't bounce back, they might. I mean, you got the Packers here, a 6-point favorite, but I was actually high on the Lions, going into the season. I thought that, they were healthy for once, and they had a lot of opportunity to start well. I don't know how they blew that lead, but, of course, it came down to one pass there, and Swift dropped it. But I can't say that I'm just, the way when we look at numbers, we always have these power rankings, and it's not just because, well, they blew the lead, my wife would say that, like, wow, they're really going to be pissed this weekend. I go, no, that's not part of the process, but I understand that feeling. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. But if it was that easy, Rob, where we could just base it off emotion and go, wow, these guys are really upset this week, they're going to play hard. I wish it was that easy, but it's not.
One game that is very interesting to me is Arizona taking on Washington for several reasons. One, Washington potential letdown factor, but two, what we saw out of Kyler Murray leading them on the road to defeat a 49ers team that was in the Super Bowl last year. And you can see where Arizona could pick up this perceived momentum because of having the next, let's call it next Lamar, next Patrick Mahomes type player. What do you have this game at and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, first of all, yeah, Murray can really make a lot of, we knew that. It was great to see. I was more impressed by the Cardinals rush defense and keeping that 49er rushing game in check. Mostert had that run, but that was a pass, remember, and that he basically juked that rookie out there, and I'm sure he'll learn from that. But the Cardinals defense was pretty impressive, especially their rush defense. It could be a little bit of a letdown, but it also could be a start of momentum and in confidence, and I think I would sway that way because I'm not really a big believer in the football team, but as far as the Cardinals, I think they have a lot of potential. And I don't think that's going to be a letdown. I think that's something that's going to build confidence in that organization, and they should carry that on to week two.
Speaking of confidence in an organization, let's talk about the Patriots. They have a nice week one win. They're heading to Seattle, and Seattle had one of the best games of the week because Russell Wilson was pretty much perfect. And post-Tom Brady era, Cam Newton fills in, and the Patriots look good. And as sports bettors over the last 15 years, the Patriots have been one of those teams where you don't want to be betting against them, but Brady's gone now. I'm curious how you guys are thinking about the Patriots and how is the market thinking about the Patriots?
Yeah, these are two teams that I think that we've all personally had some experience with betting against these teams. And you know, you bet against the Patriots or you bet against the Seahawks and you're about halfway through the first quarter. You're like, why did I do this? You know, why did I bet against Tom Brady? Why did I bet against Russell Wilson? I love Russell Wilson. I just think he might be my favorite player in the league because he just makes so many plays and he's such a great leader, very humble. And he just gets everybody involved. And we opened this game at 3.5. It's up to 4 now. So we do have some Seattle money and I do expect that to continue. I don't think everybody's on this Patriot bandwagon. I thought Cam played a very good game, a very typical Cam Newton game where he has, two rushing TDs. Didn't throw a lot of passes. But the Seahawks, even though the fans are not going to be there, it is a long road trip. I just believe the Seahawks and Russell Wilson are one of those teams that could be in the Final Four when it's all said and done.
So we don't want to overly rush to judgment on any one team, but I'm curious if there's any team that moved up or down in your perception the most based on what you saw out of week one.
Well, that's tough to say. I thought that I was really, obviously a lot of people disappointed in the Colts because, you know, I thought, you know, their defense is very solid. And I think that, you know, Frank Wright, I think he's in, him and Rivers have this great chemistry. I would have to say that's probably the biggest disappointment. I'm not sure if it's the biggest adjustment at this point, but you know, we're looking at the Colts hosting the Vikings this week and the Vikings look like the Vikings. I mean, always just missing the top tier. The Colts only a 3-point favorite here. I think that's a pretty big adjustment, you know, based off of what we saw that first week. I'm surprised they're that low. In fact, we opened 3.5, so we have seen some Viking money. So I think there's some sharp or educated money that is believing the Colts are just not all that what we thought going into this season.
Is there belief in the Buffalo Bills? The game against the Jets, I think you just sort of write off the Jets because my wife's from Buffalo, so she's part of Bills Mafia. I watched that entire game. And at no point was I even remotely impressed by anything for the Jets. And then down goes Le'Veon Bell. And Josh Allen is the gift that keeps on giving and taking at the same time, where he runs for 20 yards and then he fumbles and then he throws for 300 yards for the first time. And they looked good. And I liked the receiving options with Stephon Diggs. But I'm not sure if everyone completely buys into the Bills. It's one of those, it's easy to try and want to fade them, but they could be good, and we believe in their coaching staff type teams.
Yeah, the Bills could be a very frustrating team to bet for or against because of Allen and what he does. At times, you know, you think that, wow, this guy is like Cam Newton and looking like the MVP at times. And then other times, wow, he just really makes some really poor passes. I mean, he missed a couple of guys after making some fantastic plays, but he missed some wide open guys. That's just so frustrating, especially if you have money on Buffalo to see that. We opened this game only at 3, and we're up at 5.5. I see some sixes. So people are believing in the Bills against the Dolphins. Actually, I think it's more of a play against the Dolphins. The Dolphins look pathetic. I think it's going to be a long year. In fact, that's the team I would think that Trevor might be playing for next year.
One of the most impressive single units of any team was the Steelers' defense. They were swarming against the Giants. Took a second for the offense to get humming, but Big Ben was back, threw 3 touchdowns, and the Steelers are a team. One, they're extremely public, but two, they've got a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback and a Super Bowl winning coach. So we know what the ceiling is there. I'm curious your thoughts on the Steelers taking on this matchup with the Broncos.
Well, the Broncos definitely have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with. The Steelers are just keep impressing me year after year, despite all the injuries. You know, last year they almost made the playoffs. I mean, they just were short of the playoffs, and they had Rudolph and Hodges as their quarterback. I mean, just terrible quarterbacking, and they still almost made the playoffs. Now they're healthy. You know, they certainly have some weapons, and if Big Ben stays healthy, you know, this is a team that you could see in the Super Bowl. We open this game 5. It's up to 7, 7.5 some places. The Broncos are just totally beat up. Short week for them. Steelers, probably the best defense in the league. And now they have a healthy offense. I just can't see, the Broncos putting too much of a fight here.
A huge matchup is the Cowboys-Falcons. The Falcons did what the Falcons do. They're at home. You're like, hey, maybe this is the week they go ahead and beat Seattle, and they definitely don't do that. The Cowboys, they very easily could have won that matchup against the Rams. That Michael Gallup pass interference was pretty much the difference between victory and defeat. And the Cowboys were a team that many picked to potentially even go to the Super Bowl here. And the number's really not that big. What do you guys have it at right now?
Well, a couple of weeks ago when we had the early look, we were looking at 7.5 on the Cowboys, and now it's dropped down to 4, 4.5. Majority of them are 4.5 right now on the Cowboys side. And we have some high expectations for the Cowboys, mainly because you look at their numbers, and besides their win and loss record, they put up some pretty impressive numbers. And defensively, a little disappointing on that first week. Their defense might not be as good as we thought. But it's a team that power ranking-wise is always up there, but they don't seem to match it on their wins and losses. So with that said, I think they're looking at one play to being 1-0. They might be having a little bit of a red ass going into this week. But, I'm not looking at that emotion. I'm just looking at the team-wise. Again, 2 weeks ago we were looking at 7.5. We're looking at 4.5 now. There might be a little bit of value on the
Cowboys. Is that because of the Van Der Esch injury? Because, like, what did we see out of the Falcons to make us believe, you know what, let's get on the Falcons bandwagon real quick?
Well, I think it's a little bit of that. He's gone for the year, right?
To be determined. He's out at least, I think, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Yeah. It's Falcons are a tough team to handicap. Sometimes they look so good, and at times they look really pathetic. And they got off to a pretty decent start, but it's more the Cowboys, I believe. Their offense is just – I'm really surprised that they were only able to put 17 up against the Rams, but I believe they have one of the best offenses in the league. They didn't get on track. Again, one play away from being, 1-0 rather than 0-1. And their defense has – I think their defense has some work to do. Again, not as good as we thought, but – I can't imagine a defensive player having that much of an impact on that line. Just like Von Miller. Von Miller is another one that moved 2.5. It's something that I think really moved the line 2.5 towards the Titans. And I've never seen a defensive player move the line 2.5 points.
My last question for you is about a half point. So often we hear get the best number, but how much does a half point really matter in things? So if we see a Titans go from an 8.5 to a 9, and it can be very easy for the recreational bettor to be like, there's no real big difference in that. But I was curious from your perspective, because you see things differently than we do as the everyday bettor. How much does a half point really matter?
Well, it depends on what vicinity we are in. You know, it's 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 7, 7.5, those type of numbers, or those so-called dead numbers, 5, 5.5, 8, 8.5, 9, something like that. So it varies depending on what we're talking about. But nowadays, it's, you know, the numbers are so sharp, Rob. They're so good, especially in the NFL. Very, very solid. That's why it's a pretty tough, you know, sport to beat as a handicapper, because the numbers are so tight. But you know, it's kind of a bookmaker's friend, because nowadays if we go off market just a half point and we need that side, we can get it. I mean, it's like, also we need some money on this side, whether we lower it or raise it, and you just go off market just a bit, it doesn't take long for you to get some money back on the other side. So the guys out there, the sharks that are swimming out there, they help us, you know, when we need them. And so they put a lot of value in that half point. And so if they do their homework and their rankings and their analytics say that half point is worth a lot to them, I mean, that's what we're saying. We're seeing that money come in, and it's it doesn't take long for us to get that back. And whether it's a half point or the money line, we can move a little bit, 5 cents off market, and we'll get that money right back. So in the handicapping world, a half point or 5 cents on the money line is worth a lot, and a lot more than I think a lot of people think. But we certainly, it's a bookmaker's friend when we need that half point, or we can move with a half point and get that money back.
Something to take note of. Jay, I always enjoy jamming with you. I'm so excited that football is back. Where can everybody connect with you?
They can catch me on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. I'm pretty good about answering inquiries there. You can direct message me, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And, you know, also at Superbook Sports is our other Twitter address. You can connect, you know, with any of us here at the Superbook at Superbook Sports.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 2 card? Do you have a pick a loser, a Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And a big shout out to everyone who's part of this community, who subscribes, rates, and reviews, because when you give us a shout out on iTunes, we will show you some love on the show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action, so everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.